And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn
my family
years
really
ago
intense
I was invited to a party
totally
and
different.
And
I
never
I come from a large Irish Italian Catholic family.
Wednesday night, 7 minutes past 9 o'clock. That means it is time for stories. Stories from Ex Fabula.
Yay.
My nemesis is here. we'll get to that in just a minute. Leah Delaney, co-founder of Milwaukee's Ex Fabula, joins us on Wednesdays with stories that are taken from the live shows that occur on a regular basis in this town. And before we go any farther, the next one is
tomorrow
night.
Yes, I'm so excited. We're going to be back at the Hot Water Warehouse tomorrow night. And as you alluded to before, our theme of the evening tomorrow is My Nemesis. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. I'm waiting for the person to get up on the stage and tell the nemesis story that they are their own nemesis.
Ooh, that'd be like your own worst enemy then.
Yeah, exactly.
It is at Hot Water Warehouse. It's tomorrow night, start time. When are doors?
Doors open at 6:30, but the stories start at 7:30.
Okay.
All right. Be prepared, folks. We're going to start out the show tonight by, we're going to end the show tonight with a couple of stories relating to the theme of My Nemesis, but these stories were chosen from other themes. It's all radio magic, folks.
Mm. Well, so it all ties together.
It does. Yeah. It does. It's kind of amazing how that happens. We're going to start out tonight with a story from our program, our event from last month when the theme was crossing over.
Yay, I was looking forward to hearing these.
Oh, yeah, it was such a great show, really great show. Jennifer Hefner told a crossing over story that kind of bases around having a nemesis, maybe somebody in grade school.
Ooh.
So let's take a listen to Jennifer Hefner's story.
I like it.
I'm going to beat your head in. That's what she said to me, Lori, the bully in third grade. Well, she was the bully of all the girls in third grade, but the strange thing was that we let her be the bully. I mean, we wanted to always be by her, hang out with her. We wanted her to like us, and we did whatever she said. We would tease other kids if she told us to. We would go run off into the forest that we weren't supposed to go into at recess and smoke cigarettes. We would jump off these high monkey bars that were really dangerous and do all kinds of crazy stuff. The thing that was the tipping point for me was when, during recess, we would like to jump rope. And when you have to take the end of the rope and twirl it, and twirl it, and twirl it, and you never get to jump, it gets pretty monotonous and really boring, and you start to hate it. And she never let me jump. I just had to keep twirling, me and Annie Waidouki. So one day, I had had enough, and I said, I'm not twirling anymore. I want to jump. And Lori said, yeah, you'll get your turn. Just a couple more people need to jump first, so just keep twirling. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it anymore. It's my turn to jump. And there was just silence because I had defied her. And I looked at Annie Waidouki and I said, Annie, we don't have to keep twirling. We could go get a different jump rope and, like, tie an end to a tree and you and I take turns twirling while the other one jumps, or we could go on the swings or, you know, go play touch football with the boys or something. And she threw down her end of the rope, too. And we went off and played. Well, eventually the bell rang for us to go back into the school, and Lori Gilligan slided up to me and said, just wait till after school. And I was pretty scared then because she was older and bigger and stronger and everybody knew she could kill someone with her bare hands. So when it was time for us to leave school, instead of going out the east door like I normally did, and up Harris Street, I went out the west door and up Forest Avenue and took the long way home. The next day, it was a similar thing. She kept looking at me like that and saying little things to me at recess. And at the end of school, I just stayed there for like 45 minutes. And then I left through the teacher's lounge door, which we weren't supposed to use. Well, by the third day, I started feeling a little differently. I started getting angry. I was really angry at myself for allowing her to, now that I had taken a stance, to have even more power and control over me, because she was really dictating my every move by this point because of my fear and how I was reacting to that fear. So I decided to walk home the regular way. As I left the schoolyard and crossed the street, I could hear footsteps behind me, and I could hear her voice. And then my eyes kind of went all red, and I couldn't really hear anything because of the blood pounding in my skull. And then I just said to myself, no more. It was kind of a chant. I had no more, no more, no more. And I heard, I'm going to beat your fucking head in. And I just stopped. I turned around. I had fists at my sides, and I looked her dead in the eye. And she just went blank in the face, and her hands went down like this, and she turned and walked away. So I guess that was when I was crossing over from being a scared and letting other people control me into taking control of the situation myself and making my own destiny.
And that was Jennifer Hefner's crossing over story. So did you have any bullies, per se, back in the day?
I have a story about that in middle school. I can do this real quick.
Yeah, please.
Nobody ever picked on me. I was a little guy. Okay, I'm not a big strapping person as an adult, but as an eighth grader, I was not a big person. But my friends were the biggest, toughest, greaser kids, and basically, if you messed with Bruce, you had to answer to them.
Wow.
So nobody bullied me around.
So you had a bunch of Fonzies protecting you. You're kind of like a Patsy of the group.
Well, it was kind of like, there was that one movie with the little kid who had a protector. I don't know what it was.
Oh, it was My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard. That
oh,
was
God, I love that movie. Yeah. Picture
me in that role, only I had like these, more than one. These guys are my buddies. For some reason. And, no one ever picked on me because they knew.
Do they still follow you around, like in the streets of Milwaukee, like protecting you?
No. Didn't have to. just, their names struck fear in people's hearts. You know, these are kids who drove to school in middle school. So
very cool. I wish I had that. Not I, said the fly. But yeah.
Anyway, that's my bullying story. I didn't have to deal with that. Thank goodness.
Good stuff. All right, well, we're going to actually switch gears a little bit here with a completely different My Nemesis story. Maybe you do not know this, but Exfabula is starting to do a little bit more outreach and more workshopping. We helped out the the 45th anniversary to Legal Action Wisconsin. They had an event where they're celebrating their 45 years here on this world, and we came in and workshopped a couple of their stories. Hmm. So there were some amazing moments that were shared on that at that particular event. And Jamie Sewell Knowlton told a story and at the Legal Action event, and, you know, it's no exception. Here's her My Nemesis story.
Working in prison just wasn't what I expected it to be. After you get past the initial security guards and metal detectors and the fact that you're in an actual prison, it actually feels like a modified middle school. There's little brick hallways with classrooms and a library that look just like the one from my elementary school. There's, in Wisconsin, you wear green uniforms. They look like pajamas. So if you can imagine men walking up and down the hall in their pajamas all day, which the classes change. And I just didn't expect that the prison I work at often smells like fresh bread baking, because there's a vocational program where people are learning job skills. And, you know, I also smell laundry because there's a work program where men are working doing laundry. And I just wasn't prepared for this crazy mix of purpose and redemption and hope and heartbreak and humor that working in this place gives you. And the man I'm going to tell you about tonight ended up being not quite what I expected either. And it started when I checked my mailbox at prison, and I opened up a little note that was folded in half, and in big block handwriting, it said, "Ms. Knowlton, M-I-Z-Z, Ms. Knowlton, Satan is really stressing me out. When will I see you?" So I didn't know exactly what to think of the note. I looked to see who it was, and it was a client that the file was open, but I hadn't met him in person yet. And so I looked in the file to see what I did know about him. And he was in his 40s. He'd been on Social Security disability in the past, but in recent years, he'd applied several times and was denied several times. I looked at his mugshot, and he looked menacing. He kind of had this look like, what are you going to do about it? Glaring into the camera. And I looked at his arrest record, and it was long and pretty constant. I didn't see where he'd been out of prison for more than 5 or 6 months at a time. And I didn't know what to make of him or the note. He was kind of stressing me out, to tell you the truth. And I honestly wasn't sure if maybe he was messing with me. And so the next day, I went back to the prison, and there were 4 more notes in my mailbox, so from him. And I took a deep breath, and I opened the first note, and this time, the writing was different. It was really small and cramped, and it took up every inch of the page. And, you know, it started, "You know, Ms. Knowlton, you need to know, when most people talk about Satan, they mean fire and hell and brimstone. And when I talk about Satan, he is this mean little brown man. He wears a coat, and he stands behind me, and he puts me down, and he tells me to do bad things, and he is stressing me out." And the rest of the note was pretty much the same, and the others were as well. And it went into Satan's antics in a way that would have been hilarious if the guy was actually messing with me. But it was apparent that he wasn't. I reviewed his medical records, and if anyone looked at the medical records, it would be pretty obvious that this guy was really mentally ill. But what would happen was he would get released from prison if Satan allowed him to go to the Social Security office and fill out an application. The average wait time to get a first decision is about 4 to 6 months. And without medication, or because he didn't have insurance, he didn't have a program, the guy just didn't stand a chance against Satan or staying out of prison. And so he would reoffend and end up losing this battle. And so it was pretty clear to me that, at least in this guy's mind, he was at war with Satan. And so I decided from then on I was too. So if Satan wasn't going to let this guy advocate for himself, I wasn't aware that Satan had jurisdiction over legal action. So I was able to work up the evidence in the case, file the application, and before his release get a positive decision so he's approved for benefits. Not any great lawyering on my part. It's just something he wouldn't have been able to do on his own. And so the last time I was able to see him in person was when I got to tell him that he was approved for benefits. And that what that meant was that his caseworker was going to be able to find him permanent housing, that he was going to be able to see a doctor, that he was going to be able to stay on his medication. And I know that Satan is probably never going to stop stressing this guy out, but at least in this battle, I know we've armed him with the tools that he needs. Thanks.
And that was Jamie Sue Knowlton, who told a story at the 45th anniversary of the Legal Action event.
Well, I told my little story this week. Next week, we'll put you on the spot for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what the theme is yet, but whatever it is, we'll put you on the spot for 2 minutes.
That sounds good. Well, I want to put everybody on the spot tomorrow, but I know not everybody will want to get into the spotlight tomorrow night at the Hot Water Warehouse at 7:30 p.m., where the theme is going to be My Nemesis. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Milwaukee will show up with their 5-minute real true personal story.
And that is, again, tomorrow night. So thank you again for being here tonight, and on with the show for tomorrow.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks.